Understand that we live under the New Testament time, and the Ten Commandments that they were given to Moses here in Exodus 20 to the children of Israel are not as applicable to us today as they were for them, but we also realize that every one of those commandments we have restated in some way in the New Testament. We realize that the principle behind these great commandments are principles of life that we need to keep today. Today we are on number 6, Thou Shalt Not Murder. The Lord gave these commandments to Moses. I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me, number 1. Number 2, you shall not make unto yourself any graven image. Number 3, you shall not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Number 4, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. As we studied that, we realized that we are to keep that in principle, but not in practice. The Sabbath day being the seventh day or Saturday. And that was a covenant given to the Jews. But under the law of Christ, we worship on the first day of the week. But to keep that day holy and the principles behind it are certainly applicable for us today. And then honor your father and your mother. We noticed how that the first 4 commandments are given to guide our relationship between man and God. The last 6 commandments are given to give us guidance in our relationship of man to man. And it began last week with, remember your father and your mother and honor them. Today, number 6 is, thou shalt not kill. This commandment teaches us the sacredness of human life. And I'm appalled at our world today at how little respect many have for human life. I see some of the things that are taking place in the Middle East, and it's disheartening and disgusting. Who ever thought you'd have to be concerned about sending your children to school? Yet there are those crazy people who will walk into an elementary school and shoot our children. Or who would have to be concerned about going to see a movie, afraid that someone will come in and open up fire, kill those in the theater, or a McDonald's, or wherever. And we see where there are gangs today whose initiation is to go out and kill somebody, or to beat up an old person, or where is our respect for life? And this is the point that God is making here, is that God respects life because he's the giver of life. In Genesis, we read, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And God created man in his own image, and in the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. But men went astray. However, God still showed his love for man. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Life is important to God. And the life of man is important, because it holds the soul of mankind. That part of us that is made in the image of God. God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. That soul that is eternal has the image of God. For God is likewise eternal. So yes, man is important to God. Life is important to God. And so among the first of the commandments that dealt with the relationship between man to man, God says, don't murder. Don't take a life that does not belong to you. Now, I think before we go any further, maybe I need to explain a little bit about the meaning of this verse, because it'll help us in some of the things we want to talk about. It's kind of unfortunate that some translations have, thou shalt not kill. It would better have been translated, thou shalt not murder. Because murder is what is wrong. Taking a life by murdering that life is what is condemned here. So that leads us to ask the question then, what does this commandment not forbid? Well, it doesn't forbid killing animals for food or for clothing or for whatever. In fact, whenever Noah and his family came forth from the ark, this is what God said in Genesis 9 and verse 3. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. God gave man permission to kill the animals. Or if not only animals to eat, but animals that would threaten his life. God also gave the commandment to use animals as a sacrifice. Again, helping us to realize that killing animals is not wrong. Now, there are some who choose to be vegetarians, and that's fine. But if you're doing it because you feel like it's wrong to kill animals, then that is not taught in God's Word. Now, not only does this commandment permit us to kill again the animals for food and clothing, but it certainly permits us to use animals for the betterment of mankind, because God considers man greater than the animals. God does not forbid killing a thief that breaks into your house or that someone that's trying to harm you. He does not forbid self-defense. In Exodus chapter 22 and verse 2, there Moses said, if a thief is caught while breaking in and is stuck so that he dies, there will be no guiltiness on his account. Someone comes in and threatening your family, absolutely, you have the right to defend yourself and to defend your family. And this is not breaking that commandment. Of course, all of us pray to God that we'll never have to be put in a position where we would take a human life. This commandment does not forbid war and killing in war. After God gave this commandment, he sent the children of Israel into the land of promise, commanding them to take those cities, and in some cases, to destroy everyone. And not only every person, but all the animals. So we know that this is not forbidden. Because God certainly gave permission to the children of Israel to go at war against their enemies. It does not forbid capital punishment. In Genesis chapter 9 and verse 6, whoever sheds man's blood, by man's blood shall be shed. For in the image of God he made man. So the person that, or persons that are involved in putting someone to death who has been judged rightly so, is not guilty of murder. Nor are the jurors who condemn that man to death by a guilty verdict. You can read more about that in Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 4. So what does this commandment forbid? Well, it forbids intentional murder. Homicide, deliberately and violently taking a person's life, is forbidden. Someone who is in conspiracy is guilty of that murder. Someone who's in a mob that takes a life is guilty of murder. Many times I've been asked about suicide. What do you think about suicide? That's a hard question. Really hard question. Because I know that sometimes suicide are committed by those whose minds have become unbalanced. I think that I have a hard time not thinking that anyone who would take their own life has something out of balance in their thinking. I know that to live is one of the strongest and greatest instincts that we have. I've seen on many occasions an unconscious person fighting for their life whenever all medical and common sense would say that that person should be dead, should have died, should have passed. Yet that body continues to fight valiantly for life. So that decision would have to be left to someone a whole lot higher than I am or you are. It has to be left in the hands of God. But there is a fine line there for sure, for sure. And then there's the question about abortion. Or infanticide. Back in 1973, whenever the Supreme Court passed the law that gave sanction to abortion, I think it was one of the saddest days in our nation's history. Since then, we've killed over 1 million babies a year. And continue to do so. I believe that's wrong. I believe that an unborn child is a person. I believe that it has a soul. And I believe that when we intentionally take that life, I believe we do murder. Is it ever right? Yes. If the mother's life is in danger, yes. But I am ashamed of our nation for us to commit murder over and over again under the sanction of a law that gives us permission to do that. And then there's invisible murder, I call it. The Ten Commandments forbid the overt act of murder. But Jesus came along, and this is what he said in Matthew 5 and verse 19. You have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not commit murder. And whoever commits murder shall be liable to the court. But I say unto you, whoever is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. And whosoever shall say, you fool, shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell. So the Lord reaches way down and makes this commandment, gives it a lot more teeth, that's for sure. I've known people that are living right now with such extreme hatred that their lives have been destroyed. And I wonder, you know, sometimes the hater is feels so much more pain and discomfort than the one that's hated. We just need to be real careful about these things. These are not just preaching stuff. This is life things that affect us all and are worthy of our thoughts. So the question is raised, do I have the right to punish someone that's wronged me? And the answer is no. That belongs to God. Romans 12, verse 19, never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, and I will repay, saith the Lord. So God will take care of the wrongs. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but God will even the scales at some point. And then finally this morning, think about the murder of the soul. No one will take you to court for it. You won't be sentenced in the court of man, but you will in the court of God. So how do we murder a soul? Think about our influence, fathers and mothers. If we lead our children away from God, we destroy their soul. Because God is our only hope in this old world. And Jesus said, if you lose your soul, what have you profited? Even if you were to gain the whole world. We need to realize how important that soul is and how important our influence is. As fathers, as parents to our children. But our influence at work, our influence at school. God forbid that we should ever be responsible for the murder of a soul. And what about soul suicide? What about killing your own soul? By failing to obey God's commandments, knowing what the Lord expects of you, and rejecting His great and marvelous gift to have access to the blood of Jesus Christ for the cleansing of our lives and our souls. One of the things we do know is that all of us are going to stand before God to be judged. One of the greatest murders of all times happened over 2,000 years ago when man hung Jesus on the cross. You say, well, I wasn't there. Oh, yeah, you were. Your sins were there. Your sins were what nailed him to that cross. And his love for you is what held him on the cross. So once again, thou shalt not murder. Save your soul. Here is great truth. Believe them with your heart. Repent of your sins. Confess that He is the Christ. Be baptized for the remission of your sins. Trust and obey. Will you come while together we stand and sing?
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but a smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt nor a fear, not a sigh nor a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil He doth richly repay. Not a grief nor a loss, not a frown nor a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of His love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor He shows and the joy He bestows are for those who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Be seated, please. Well, they're always talking to me about my second sermon. Well, this morning you're going to get one, so I just wanted to take a moment to talk to us all about the coming week, the elections that are coming up. I wouldn't even begin to try to endorse a candidate or tell you how that you should vote. One of the privileges that we have in this nation is that we get to exercise the freedom of expressing our own desires. But what I am wanting to try to encourage us all is to realize the importance of what this election means and the importance of getting out and voting. I know that you, as I, have been somewhat, I've been very disappointed. Never has there been such an unprecedented or a troubled election as maybe this year is. I know that there is can easily be a feeling, well, I'm just not going to vote at all because I'm disappointed in those that are running. And I know that it seemed like that it has been a focus more on personal attacks than it has been on issues. But nevertheless, whoever wins in this election in 2 days will guide our nation and will have a profound effect upon what happens to us, to the education of our children, to the enactment of laws. And for that reason, we need to be concerned. Not only that, but also because in this election there are 12 governors that are running. There are 34 U.S. senators, all 435 members of the House of Representatives will be up for re-election, 1,210 senators in state legislatures, 4,710 representatives in state elections. That doesn't even include the local races or the local issues that will be on the ballot. So yes, there is a need for me to exercise that great, wonderful freedom and express my desire on who will lead our nation and who will lead our state, who will lead us in our local governments. But everything will be all right. God is still in control of this world. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't be fearful, because never did God love a people any more than He loved the children of Israel. But whenever they deviated from His commandments, He allowed nations to come in and take them into captivity, destroy them. But He always saved His people. He always brought them back. So yes, I'm fearful. I pray for our nation. I pray for my children, for my grandchildren. I'm still proud enough to stand when they play or sing the Star Spangled Banner. I still can say I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. I am glad to be an American. I pray to God. I plead with God. God bless America. I'd like to ask Matt Bassing, if you will. Matt, this morning, began our our Bible class by reading to us from Psalms 46 to remind us to trust in God because He is in control. After Matt reads that passage of Scripture for us, Mark, have a closing song, and then we'll be led in a closing prayer. Mark, you did a great job this morning. Thank you, sir. This is Mark's first time to be a Sunday morning song leader, and we have sure appreciate his talent and appreciated him being willing to do that. So, Matt, if you would, please come, and if you would be standing for the reading of God's Word and standing for the song, standing for the closing prayer.
Psalms 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way